Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Elliot Forrest, in for John Schaefer. Soprano Patricia Rosette never knew the old Metropolitan Opera House, I'm guessing. But her performances at the new Met, like this one from the recent Madama Butterfly, have turned heads in today's opera world. She's currently in rehearsals for the Met's new production of Verdi's Il Trovatore, but you might also find her singing torch songs on the cabaret stage. She joins me now in studio, clapping her hands. Patricia Rosette, good to see you again.
Great to be here. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much. This great history that we just walked through of the old Met, I imagine when you're in the new Met as well, as new as it is, considering that it's been around for a while, there are still ghosts of the past. When you get on stage, do you feel that at the Metropolitan Opera House currently?
In a sense, you do. You do. I mean, you're reminded of the greats that, you know, have performed on that stage, and, you know, it can be both exciting and daunting depending on the evening.
Well, give me an example of how it's exciting, and then I'm going to ask about daunting.
How it's exciting? Well, I mean, it's the great Metropolitan Opera. You know, regardless of the building that it inhabited, it's the great Metropolitan Opera, and certainly, I think, you know, perhaps the greatest opera company in the world. And so to be privileged enough to practice your craft and your art form on that stage and be able to have access to collaborate with the world's greats, you know, singers and conductors and directors and designers is incredible. I think it can offer this art form at its highest level. And that's, you know, it raises your game, it stretches your limits, it's a wonderful experience. So that's what's exciting. And I love the building acoustically. I love it. My voice just loves that acoustic. It feels so good to sing in that hall.
I have, you know, a lot of Broadway friends, and I think they would be totally intimidated by the fact that there's no miking and you've got a hall that big. And you see the back of the house, that doesn't intimidate you at all.
No. It doesn't, especially because I know it does carry, and I know my voice works well in there. It's a great acoustic. It doesn't. I can understand that feeling, though. You know, if you're in a hall and you know it's like the term I use most frequently, singing into a bag of cotton, then you know it's not optimum. But I love that. You know, apropos, if I may just add, you know, with miking, when I'm asked to do my cabaret show, people ask me that are opera fans of mine, you know, why are you using a microphone? You know, you can sing in the Met without being mic'd. It's a different kind of singing. It's a different kind of vocal production. And the intimacy and colors come from being able to really almost whisper it into that mic, whereas in the opera world, it's a different kind of vocal coordination, you know.
And if we didn't have them right now, no one would be able to hear us.
Exactly.
What's daunting about it when you get on the Met stage?
Because of all the greats that have sung there. The people, not only that, you know, I suppose especially in the kind of iconic repertoire that I sing, it's, you know that, you know, Callas has done that, or Freni has sung it, or Tebaldi, or, you know, the list can go on, and you're aware of that. And so while I try and approach every single performance I have with my own unique blend of strengths, you know, you can't help but be reminded of the comparison. So that can be daunting.
And not only do you remember these great roles of these other singers, the audiences do too.
Yes,
they have a very long memory.
They
those
do,
opera fans.
And so you can take, you know, it can happen. You can get, you know, you're better than blah 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 that I heard sing this 30 years ago, and you know you're the best of this, or you can get my particular favorite is, you know. You know, you are next to my favorite.
Yeah. Next to so-and-so.
The runner-up prize goes to.
And what do you say to that?
I try and remain gracious and say thank you. And, you know, I always appreciate, you know, we have to appreciate those that have such passion and enthusiasm for this art form. Oh, you have no idea what these people can say. But they're doing it mostly out of a place of love and passion for this art form, which we need, which we want. And, you know, not everyone's going to feel the same. It's such a subjective art form. You know, what one finds is riveting and mesmerizing, the other does not. And that's okay. I think that's exciting. And that's what's exciting to me about live performance, because every audience has its own personality and has its own accessibility, and it, I have to say, it does affect my performance, and it's kind of like surfing, you know, you sort of feel the energies out there, and it's a wonderful experience.
Tell us where you are right now, because you're in rehearsal for Il Trovatore. Is this a role you've done before?
I've done it once before in 2003, so that as a singer feels like, you know, light years ago. So it doesn't really feel new in terms of the role, but in terms of my experiencing it on stage, it does, and I'm really appreciating this production. It really draws all of the as much and meaning from every moment as it can, and it's very veristic, which can be a challenge with a Verdi opera such as this from this time period, because convention is still alive, where you repeat, you know, there's cavatina cabaletta, and you repeat it, and you want to find real meaning, theatrical meaning in that. And I think this production succeeds in doing that. And also even the vocal acrobatics of a role like Leonora, you want it to mean something and not just be this bravura moment of singing, which, while I'm sure has been acceptable in the past, I think our audiences want more. They want to, you know, they want a total product. And so that's what I'm enjoying in this challenge, is making every moment mean something.
If I asked you what the story was, it might take a while, because opera tends to be 2.5 hours. What would be in TV Guide? What would be the sentence in TV Guide?
Well, you know, I never like answering that question, because my job is not to have an overview of the opera. My job is very mono-minded. It's to know my role. It's to do my role and know how I relate to the other characters, how they relate to me, and where I am in the context of each scene. So, I mean, if I were doing a much smaller role, for example, like, you know, Annina and Traviata, I could probably go on for an hour about how Traviata is about Annina. So it's not my job to sort of have the overview. I always feel like, you know, directors and even conductors have a better grasp and are far more articulate in, you know, in telling the story of that. And I don't like to sort of give a synopsis of sorts, especially when I'm about to perform it, because I have to stay on this sort of lonely, solitary path of performing.
A word or two about the cast members?
Wonderful cast. Jelko Lucic is playing the Count. We sang together last fall in Il Tabarro. He was my Michele. Wonderful colleague. Marianne Cornetti is doing the Azucena, which, of course, in Trovatore, Leonora and Azucena virtually have no contact. You know, we sing together, but it's musically set so that we're really separate, not saying anything to one another. But she's been lovely. And great Marcelo Alvarez is Manurico, and he's wonderful to play across on stage. He's so passionate and expressive and invested in every moment. So in a role such as Leonora, which is dependent a lot on how the men behave around her, it's really great to perform with someone that is so invested and makes the theater of the piece very alive.
Yeah. Let's talk about Il Tridigo. You had done these, basically it's three operas, and they're not always done by the same soprano.
No, they're rarely done by the same soprano.
And you did all three at once. Why did you want to do that?
The challenge. I love the piece. I love Il Trittico. It's something, it was a dream. I was on my dream wish list from the very beginning of my career, and I had the fortune to do the Trittico first in San Francisco and then come here and do it. So it was, it's something that I'll always remember. It was great. And the challenge is great. It's interesting. Butterfly is perhaps a longer vocal, you know, task, if you will, and dramatically as well, can be really unrelenting, especially in Act Two. But something like Il Trittico, it's the concentration that it takes to switch from one character to the next that I found the most exhausting.
Will you do it again, do you think?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I am doing it in Vienna, Theater an der Wien. It's in a couple of years. But I'm not doing Lauretta. I'm just doing the first two, which is just fine by me.
How about Suora Angelica? Let's listen a little bit to Patricia Rosette singing. Thank you. Suor Angelica from Il Trittico, sung by Patricia Risette. I'm Elliot Forrest, in for John Schaefer here on Soundcheck. I saw you in Tobias Picker's American Tragedy. I'm curious about the challenges of creating a brand new opera character as opposed to creating one that has been done before or reinventing one.
Well, you can't steal anyone else's ideas.
And the people don't come backstage and say, you're the second one better.
That's exactly. There's no, the comparative factor is off the table.
Gone, right.
So that's a perk.
Tell us about that.
I mean, there's a certain responsibility in creating a new character, and I have had the opportunity to do that several times in different pieces, and I love it. It is such a rich artistic experience because you can actually have a conversation with the librettist and with the composer and talk about, you know, vocal moments that you say, well, gosh, you know, if you really want to express this in my voice, I have to say, you know, if we raise this a third, you're going to get far more dynamic range, or, you know, for example, or even in the telling of the story with the, you know, librettist saying, you know, there was a situation, I'll just leave nameless, it wasn't American Tragedy, where I said, I really feel like the character is missing an inner dialogue, an exposition of of what's going on inside her head. And I thought it very important to address that, and was able to early on in the process. You know, you can't do that with Puccini and Verdi or whatever, you know. I mean,
that must be great, because to a certain extent, if these operas continue, and that's certainly the goal of writing a new opera, is to add it to the repertoire for many, many, many years to come, you're actually having a little say in shaping that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's just... It's a really rich experience, you know, when you're sitting there in the room and it's the first day and there's the presentation of what the director's idea of the piece is and each character, and then you see the designer's ideas for both clothing and the costumes and the set, and then, you know, you have the conductor and obviously the composer and the librettist and then the artists. I mean, it's all this collaboration in the best of circumstances. It's all this collaborative energy that's there, and I think it makes for a really interesting process. Unlike you know, performing pieces of yesteryear, it's something I enjoy very much.
Do you have a new piece on the horizon that you'll be a part of?
There was, but then the economy happened. The economy as we know it today. So I don't know where that stands, but there was. You know, it's something I will always welcome. But I think a lot of companies are sort of slowing down a little bit on that because
on the
of
new stuff.
Yeah, because it's hard to sell the tickets so often. Although I think this one would have, but I should probably not speak of it since I don't have official okay.
We'll have you back for that.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly.
Find out.
I'll be happy to.
let's go back to the cabaret. We talked about that earlier with your microphone. You just did a couple of nights here in New York. A part of that is something that is inside you from a long time ago. You thought you might be singing jazz.
Oh, yeah. You know, now as I look back, I realized I just needed and wanted to sing. But then when I was in high school, my choir director was very hot on the jazz thing. So I thought, okay. And he, you know, he showed me and taught me a lot of different repertoire. And so I went to a school that was kind of known for jazz, North Texas State University.
I know it well.
Oh, you do?
Oh, of course. I was born and raised in Texas, Denton.
Whoa.
And it's a great music school.
Great music school. Now they have phenomenal facilities. Then, you know, we rehearsed for opera anyway in the old cafeteria. So it's a much different place, physically speaking. But yes, I went there with the intention of pursuing some kind of a jazz / cabaret torch song kind of career. But they did not yet have a major for vocal jazz. They had all this stuff for instrumentalists. And I went there hoping that this was going to develop and change, and was led to believe that that might be the case, but it wasn't. And so I ended up having to take regular, you know, weekly voice lessons in the, I'm doing quotations, classical genre. And I had been told once before that my my strengths really did lie with the classical genre.
Somebody heard that in your voice.
Totally. And I cried for 3 days, got over it. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, what one plans for their own life and what ends up, you know, coming to fruition. Now, that being said, I love singing my jazz and torch song stuff. I love it, and I do it whenever possible, and find that the two combine beautifully.
Let's take a listen to you doing cabaret instead. Here's Patricia Rosette.
I had myself a true love, and now he's gone and left me for good. Lord knows I done heard those backyard whispers going around the neighborhood. There may be a lot of things I miss, a lot of things I don't know, but I do know this. Now I ain't got no love. And once upon a time, I had a true love. In the evening, in the doorway, while
I had myself a true love, Patricia Rosette singing cabaret, a little jazz in her heart, but of course she's a huge opera singer right now. Tell us what's happening after Il Trovatore.
I am going to Sydney, Australia, to spend my holidays rehearsing and singing Madama Butterfly.
That's how you spend the holidays, is singing in another role?
We have to remember, you know, people like entertainment around the holidays, and we are the entertainers. Yes, I'm really looking forward to doing that. You know, it's so far. Sydney, Australia is so far, and I thought to myself when they offered this to me, when am I really going to make it out that way again? And I thought, this is a perfect opportunity. So my partner and I are going to go out for the time and do a little butterfly. And
it always amazes me, because a lot of instrumentalists I know, violinists maybe plan 2-3 years, a lot of opera singers out 4-5 years. Mm-hmm. You have that much planned in your life at this point?
I do have some plans for 5, even 6 years. Now, again, since the economy has shifted as it has, it has changed for most of us, that's shortened a bit. I think, you know, things in 2 and 3 and 4 years are a lot more likely than 5 years. But it's, you know, it just depends. It does play. It's just strange to know where you're going to be in April of 2015, you know.
I'm not sure where I am tomorrow. Patricia Rosette, I want to thank you so much for coming in
My
today.
Pleasure.
Il Trovatore at the Met opens in
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Have a great time. Come
Thanks.
Back anytime.
Lovely
Good
to
see
here.
You. That's it for today. On our next program, we take a look at the ever-expanding art of the music video. And ukulele virtuoso Jake Shimabukuro performs live in our studio. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Greta Cohn, with Marlon Bishop and Chase Coulpon. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We also had help today from Gwen Ann Jones and Tiffany Kamhai. Special thanks to Andy Lancet from our archives. I'm Elliot Forrest, and for John Schaefer, join us again at this time for another soundcheck here on 93.9 FM WNYC. Oh.